Welcome to Mainly Phenology, a program focused mainly on the phenology of Maine, the timing of natural occurrences throughout the seasons. This program is an audio calendar of the Maine outdoors where we share what's happening in nature each week and focus on specific species and concepts that you can observe outdoors in hopes that you'll become just a little more curious about the natural world. I'm your host, Hazel Stark, and this episode was written by Joe Horn. Paddling quietly up the river this time of year always gives me a great appreciation for how swiftly and completely our river corridors change over the course of the year. In the bracing cold of this past December, I glided my waxed skis over its frozen and snow-covered surface. An oddly complete January thaw brought on torrential rain, causing the river ice to melt and swell up. And if it weren't for a well-placed slab of ice, I would have lost my canoe. February and March kept the bankside ice slabs solid and the river mostly frozen. Come May, the last of the ice melted away from the shady spots lining the river, while spring rains caused the river to once again blow its banks, though this time my canoe was safely on high ground. Now in July, I paddle my canoe through thick, muggy air along the dead water of this seasonally turbulent river, now made as docile and lazy as I find myself today amid this summer swelter. But not everyone is feeling the weight of these dog days. The sharp buzz and zoom of a hummingbird snaps me to alert, and I watch it swoop down and hover face deep in the carmine, nutrient-rich nectary of today's topic, cardinal flowers. Red is such a fleeting color for plants in our Maine woodlands. Sure, the red maples give an impressive show of the color in the fall, but upon closer inspection, those fiery leaves are really speckled with brown, dashed with gold, and cloaked in subtle greens. Yellow, white, and even purple flowers are common among our fields and forests, but a true red flower is a wild gift to behold. The cardinal flower, as the name rather vividly describes, cares not for the colors made popular by high-fashion plant society. The blooms develop as a spray of fireworks from an easily overlooked plant in the bellflower family. Once in bloom, their petals are so vivid, I find it hard to even equate their color with such a banal term as red. I try to capture the color of these flowers in writing by invoking exotic words like carmine, auburn, scarlet, and vermilion, thinking that they may convey the astonishing hue of this wildflower, but all seem to pale next to the flower itself. The color of cardinal flower is so vivid, so vivacious, my eyes scarcely can comprehend the detailed wrinkles and lines in the surface of the petals. These flowers are, for lack of a better term, blindingly electric. But upon closer inspection, the vivid color makes sense. When the perceptive person peers purposefully beyond their petals, they notice that the flower reduces down to a single arching tube. While insects, like our large bumbling native bees, find these flowers difficult to navigate, the needle-like bill of a hummingbird fits into this flower like a key into a lock. With this insight, the outrageous color makes sense. Hummingbirds have such an unbearable attraction to red flowers that I've even had them hover inches from my head as they examined a bundle of red surveying flags I was carrying in my backpack on a botanical expedition. Out in the woods, waters, and fields of Maine, there is no flower that can compare with these red beauties, and for that, they receive the undying attention of the busy little birds. These flowers are reputed to be rather common, however, humans have picked them for vases, dug them for gardens, and taken seed pods for propagation. This rampant collection has taken a large toll on the population of wild cardinal flowers. So this week, you can take a hint from hummingbird habits. Buzz and flit from cardinal flower to cardinal flower, giving each your utmost attention and affection. Feel free to even obsess over finding this intensely hued wonder. But please leave those flowers, plants, and seeds in place for the next flower fiend. Together, we can keep the summer beauty gracing the banks of our mighty Maine rivers for the benefit of our hummingbird neighbors and for our own wild enjoyment. You can find a link to the full transcript of this show, as well as references, contact information, and accompanying photos by visiting archives.weru.org. You can also listen to or download our features or subscribe to podcasts. Theme music was by A Pileated Woodpecker, made available by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. Thanks for listening, and please join us next week for another dive into mainly phenology.